Well, I just want to say real quickly, thank you for allowing us to be able to come and present the ministry of Papua New Guinea. My name is Corey Rowley, and I just want to be able to introduce my family at this time. My wife is named Alicia Rowley. And then my oldest daughter, her name is Chloe. The shy one. And then my youngest daughter is Charity. My not-so-shy one. And then he kind of depends on what, there he goes, he's going to do it. This is Micaiah. I call him my little fireball. Okay, you can go ahead and sit down, bud. And then just let you know and kind of give you an update. We do have one on the way. We are expecting another one, and it should be due around the end of August, and Lord willing. And so a lot of people have asked, has that changed anything with our travels? We will be hopefully being able to, right after that, finalize our visa paperwork and also the work permits of being able to go to Papua New Guinea. So in the fall, we're looking to be able to go over to Papua New Guinea. The country is starting to open back up. They have gone from restricted to reconsider. They're starting to look at some of the paperwork, work permits. We're getting in contact with a church over there who sponsors missionaries in to be able to help us with that. And that's our next step and our goal, to be able to be over there in the fall of this year, 2021. And so at this time, if we wouldn't mind, I'll go ahead and go on the presentation. We are missionaries. Let me step to the side real quick. We are missionaries to Papua New Guinea. There are three things I would like to share with you in this, there we go, in this presentation. It's just a little bit of who we are, not to try to brag about ourselves, but just to share with you what God has allowed us to do in the ministries, and then also where we're planning on going to, just a little bit about the country of Papua New Guinea itself, and then probably the most important question to answer for you tonight is to be able to share with you what we are planning on doing when we get to the field of Papua New Guinea. Once again, it's my wife and I. Her name is Alicia Rowley. She was saved in 2010. I was saved in 2006. And God bless us with three wonderful children. We've been married since 2009. On the right-hand side, Chloe, she's 7 years old. Left-hand side is Charity, 5 years old. And then Micaiah, he is 2 years old. We're set out under the authority of Bible Baptist Church in Duncan, Oklahoma. And we've been able to be trained underneath our pastor and the church ministries there. Our pastor has trained us, myself, to be able to be a deacon in the church, a song leader, Sunday school superintendent, just to be able to help in the ministries there in the church, and just to do anything that we can be able to be of help there in the house of God. One of the things that we do have there is TBBI, a Texoma Bible Baptist Institute, that we were able to graduate from. We like to try to involve all of our members there, and not only just to try to earn a degree or to work for a degree, but we oftentimes try to encourage them as well, just to learn more about the things of God. Because sometimes they don't want to come in and take the effort, but we encourage them to come in and just learn about the Bible and more about the things of the Lord. Also, we have a ministry that just to the town of to the west of us, about 20 miles, is a military town called Lawton. There is a veteran center over there. I was calling around in Duncan to try to see if there would be any open doors with the police department or a fire department to ride with them, hopefully to be able to be a witness. God actually had those doors shut and opened a door here at the veteran center. And the head chaplain there said, we would like for you to go in and hold services in the yellow wing instead of the main chapel service because they have dementia, so they're not able to come out. And he said the previous chaplain thought it was no use anymore because of their condition. I thought that's pretty sad because they probably need to hear the word of God even more so because of their condition. But we were able to build some of the relationships there, be able to be a witness there, and then also some of the Sunday school programs there in our church that we've been able to help out, teach them about, I call them historical facts of the Bible. A lot of times when people think of stories, they think of fictional stories. So I like to tell them that we like to teach them the facts of the Bible, the truth of God's word. Well, enough about us. Let's get to the country of Papua New Guinea. If you'll notice here on the map, on the right-hand side there, just to the northeast side of the country of Australia, is the country of Papua New Guinea. It does shares its borders with the country of Indonesia. The whole island itself would be called New Guinea. On the west-hand side is Indonesia, and then on the right-hand side is Papua New Guinea. Just to give you an understanding of how long it would take to get there, we wouldn't fly to the right, we'd fly to the left. But in all total flights, it takes about a 24 to 25 hour flight to be able to get there. You'll go from Texas into Australia, and then Australia into the capital of Port Moresby, and then into the bush villages where God has called us to. And bush village, I mean by that the only transportation to be able to get there is either you're walking or you're flying into the villages to get there. And I'll be able to show you that here in just a moment. Population of Papua New Guinea is just a little bit over 8.5 million people. And with that population, 92% of them, when you ask them, are they a Christian, they'll tell you yes. But you understand, just kind of like it is in the United States, when you start asking people, are they a Christian, and come to find out that they truly are not. They're in town, in the cities, most of them are practicing that of Catholicism. Out in the villages, you'll see more of an influence of Seventh-day Adventist. They'll take their planes out there of their own medical supplies, of their own materials, things that they're able to transport out there. And so more of an influence out in the villages where we will be at is Seventh-day Adventist. But when you think of Papua New Guinea, you might think of ancestry worship. That is not really being much practiced in the cities and towns as much. Usually when there's a celebration of some kind of a holiday or a cultural celebration, then you'll start seeing them put their paint on their faces and doing the dances and those things. But once that period is done and over with, then they just kind of go on with their living and really start going to the other churches. And so that's not really being practiced much anymore. 2014, our pastor had a vision of a group to be able to go with a missionary couple by the name of the Hollands that had been missionaries over there for a good 25 years, had planted some churches, and we were able to go over there in 2014, about 10 to 15 of us, and just see how God works in planting churches over in Papua New Guinea. And God began stirring in my heart at this time about being a missionary to Papua New Guinea. And I'll have to be honest with you, I was really afraid of that call. I was rejecting it at that moment because I was wondering, how would I be able to take care of my family if there's ever an emergency? How would I be able to do these things? But eventually God got a hold of my heart, and I'll be able to share with you that here in just a moment. In 2016, my family, Makai wasn't born yet, but my family was able to go at this time just to see the culture for themselves, see the country, and also to be able to see some of the churches that had been started over there. And if you'll notice there, hanging off of Mama is Charity and a carrier. And they would look at her and say, oh, jumbo baby, just because of how big she looked and everything. But you ask, did that really offend you? No, they are a relationship-oriented people that they don't want to sit there and shame you, but they are very honest. And so we just kind of laugh with them and say, yeah, she's a pretty big baby. But you'll notice Charity walking around, she's not a big baby anymore. Sometimes she might act like a big baby, but she's not a big baby anymore. But they are very relationship-oriented. In 2018, I consider a very special year for me. This is when God got a hold of my heart. I was going over with the missionaries once again, just kind of to be a help for them. And I also prayed to the Lord and was talking with my pastor. And I was asking, Lord, please show me if this is where you would have us to be. I didn't want it to go off of just my own emotions, my own feelings. I wanted to make sure and verify that that was the Lord calling us to go over there. And God verified it and actually used a national pastor in a city called Mount Hagen, Pastor Calmless there on the left-hand side. He preached a message dealing with David and Goliath, where David asked the army of Israel, is there not a cause? And you'll notice on the prayer card, there's that verse talking about, is there not a cause? And he said a lot of people don't want to get into the ministry because they're too worried about the cost or what it might take instead of looking at the cause. And I thought, wow, that's exactly me, because I was worried about, how would I be able to do this? How would I be able to do that? And God said, listen, I'll take care of you, and I'm going to enable you, and I'm calling you. And I said, Lord, I'll surrender myself to your call. Came back, talked with my pastor. My pastor basically just looked at me and said, what took you so long? I believe a pastor has a vision or insight from the Lord of the potential for his people, and talked with our church, and they vote us on. And basically a lot of the people of the church were saying the same thing. What took you so long? We've been praying for you. We've been wondering when you were going to finally surrender. And so we're missionaries to Papua New Guinea, and I'm glad that the Lord didn't quit working on us and quit working on me to make that decision. But I want to be able to share with you what God is planning on how to use us over there, the church there in the village of Karamui. You'll notice here in just a moment of the pastor and everything. They have been able to give us permission to stay in their missions house while we're trying to transition over, get acclimated to the culture. And so we don't have to worry about any type of rent cost or building a house at this moment. But we believe God is calling us to a village of Kapi. So eventually we do want to be able to build a house there so we can stay there and be able to work with the people. But during this time, we want to be able to work in the ministries there, get involved in the school systems, because there is a religious instruction is what it's called, a requirement from the government that a religious organization to go into the schools, elementary, middle school, high school, on up and teach something good. And the reason being is because they're seeing their country so corrupt and their crime rate going up and the homicides going up, that they believe, well, if we start out at a young age and start out in the schools and teaching them something good, maybe this will turn our country around. I wish we had that in our own country and be able to go into school systems and to preach. But we want to be able to get involved in that and take advantage of that. There's no restrictions with that. You can teach about the blood. You can teach about repentance, which I still believe is very important according to the Word of God. And they'll tell you, you've got about 25 to 30 minutes to do that, and they'll let you preach whatever. So it's a great opportunity for us to be able to present the gospel. Also, we want to be able to hand out tracts. They're very receptive to the Word of God to the point that we want to be very discerning and very careful when we're trying to share the gospel, because anytime they see an American or white man coming over, they just want it because they believe it'll make them rich. And we don't want them just to make a false profession and just say, well, I just want it. I'll say a prayer just to make me rich. We truly want them to understand what it means to be a sinner and truly needing a Savior in their life. And so we ask that you would pray for that. And the opportunities there. Also, there's times where we can preach in the market days. Also, there's a Bible studies that we usually do when we're over there. There's a great need for that, to teach the young people, young adults, about learning to trust God and the things of life. Because a lot of times, because they are such a poor country, when there's a government offer or something in town, it seems like they just kind of run to that. And we want to teach them and get them to understand that it's far better to trust in the riches of Christ than it is in the riches of this world. And so we want to be able to have the Bible study with them. But eventually, in God's time, we want to get to the village of Coppi there. Once again, if you'll notice, I mentioned that the transportation to be able to get there is either by walking or flying. That's a central village among other villages. I believe God has had that plan and purpose for that, so we can be able to go in there, present the gospel, train those new converts, and then in God's timing, train a national pastor to be able to take over that work to where they can go and spread the gospel among the other villages there. It is in the Chimbu province. If you'll notice at the very bottom, let me get this right, at the very bottom of the screen is the village of Karamui, where we'll be staying over and transitioning into the country. Where the star is at is the village of Coppi. Now, it takes about a 2 to 3 day walk to get there, or about a 45-minute flight to get over there. You say, well, why would it take so long to be able to walk over there? Well, you'll notice the terrain. There's a lot of mountains, a lot of valleys. But everywhere you look, there's homes everywhere. And it really brings to life Acts 1:8 when the Bible says that we are to be the witness, but at the very end of that verse talks about to the uttermost. And when you fly over, we see the homes and see the houses, and each of those people are not being presented the gospel. We want to be able to give them that hope, and we have a burden for them. Also, the things that they do there, they don't waste anything. They'll take tree limbs and the bamboo that they're taking right here, and they're making a peak, and what they're doing is making a kind of a tent meeting out from the church. A lot of times when we go over there, they'll use like a preacher's meeting, and a lot of people will come from different villages, will walk 2 to 3 days just to be able to be there in the meeting. They don't waste anything there. But if you'll notice, here is an empty propane tank hanging from a tree. You say, well, what's that used for? That is their church bell. And any time that they're getting ready for services or getting ready to have a meal for the guests that are coming in, they'll bang on that. Now, they may say they start services at 6:30, but they may not start until 6:53. You say, well, that's kind of an odd time. I did that on purpose. Once again, they're more concerned about each other than trying to make sure they get started on time. And I believe that we need to do things in an orderly fashion, but I think we've missed the opportunity of building a relationship with people and trying to present the gospel to them. We were able to pass out the Bible in their language, the Old Testament and New Testament. You'll see it back there on the display table. I believe it's on the left-hand column is the King James, the English, and on the right-hand side is the Pidgin Bible in their very own language. And we were able to pass it out in 2016. And that is actually the official recognized Bible of that country. So God is really blessing and opening the doors there. You may see that they are of a different race, different way of doing things, but the Bible talks about they're in Jude of that common salvation. They're there just like you and I to assemble together as a local body, as a local church, there to worship and praise their Savior. A lot of people have asked us, are you taking your children with you? And I get those looks every time I mention it. They're concerned about the dangers there. They're concerned about the access to supplies and those things. And I tell people that I would much rather be over there, what we would think is a dangerous place, being in the Lord's will, than being back in the United States at what we would think would be the safest place, being outside of God's will. Because being outside of God's will is actually the most dangerous place that we'll ever be at. So I have full confidence that my God will be able to take care of my family. Also, this is Brother Enoch. He's a member there of Karamui Baptist Church. A good young man starting to work with the youth there. I believe that he's actually going to be a teacher there. This is Brother Epi. He helps with the song leading there. Also helps with the translating from English to Pidgin. And I'll be able to share with you some of the examples of the Pidgin language here in just a moment. And then Brother Cuso is a very helpful and good friend of mine. Whenever we're over there, we'll be walking among the villages, and he'll ask me how to say things in English. I'll ask him how to say things in Pidgin. And about the age of 40 and 50 and below can speak pretty good English, because they are starting to teach that in the schools. And about that 50 and higher is about the age where they can't really speak good English because of not being able to be around it as much. But he's looking over at work just a few miles down of Karamui and overseeing that, sent out of Karamui. And I believe that he's actually going to be ordained to be the pastor of that work. So you pray for him. But most importantly, we ask that you would pray for us. We want to be able to get there in God's timing. We want to be able to not get ahead of him, but at the same time, not get behind him either. But we want to be able to share the gospel to the New Guineans there. And one thing that I praise the Lord for, here is a picture of a boy by the name of Holland, which they named him after the missionaries that were over there, and Chloe. A lot of missionary kids have a hard time in transitioning over because of the new culture, new friends, new home, and those things. But God has already given my children some friends over there that they already know, that they're excited to be able to go back over there, excited to see them. And so God doesn't owe me that. And I praise the Lord that he's able to work those things out. But we ask that you would pray for us, take a prayer card, and just once again, we're looking to be able to be over there in the fall of this year. I know I speak a little bit fast sometimes when I'm nervous, but if you have any questions, I'll try to do my best at this time to be able to answer them.
Brother, yes, sir.
We're at 86%.
You're almost where you need to be.
Yes, sir.
I don't remember if you said this or not, but the church in here believed that Brother Holland planted that church.
Yes, sir.
And so that church is indigenous, self-supporting.
Yes, sir.
It's organized.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so you're working with them?
No, sir. It's being able to stay in their mission's home and transitioning to be able to go over into the village of Kapi. And so when we go over there, we are able to get into the school systems, be able to get into preaching the market days and everything. Now, they have asked us when we've been over there or when we will be over there, do you mind preaching in the market days and everything while we're over there? But our goal is to try to get over to the village of Kapi and stay over there to be able to work with the people. Yes, sir. A lot of the great way of being able to engage them, like once I said, they're very open, they're very receptive. Anytime that there's somebody coming up and giving information, even in towns, there's usually quite a bit of a group there to be wanting to listen. They're very curious. But the one thing that we're able to use and kind of use their terminology is their terminology for like family or tribe, a lot of times is like a clan. And so whenever we're presenting them to, you know, of the gospel, is that God wants you to be a part of his clan, which is, it gives the understanding of a family that's knit. And right now we try to teach them that they are a clan or a family of the devil. And they're not offended by that. They're very honored that you would even want to come to be able to tell them that. You know, a lot of times when you come around in the United States and go up to somebody, and not to sit there that you want to just come right up and say, hey, you're a lost sinner, you need to get saved. You know, there's a way of doing that, but for you to come up to them and tell them that, listen, according to the Word of God, according to God and his standard, that you are a sinner, they're not offended by that. And we want them to understand where they are before God, but at the same time, like I was mentioning with the preaching in market days and handing out gospels, the gospel tract, is that we don't want them to just take it because we are an American, because a lot of times they'll look at that and they want to please you, in a sense, so much that they'll just do whatever the missionary says or the white man says. And so we want to be very careful how to approach them in that way. But they're very open. they're very honored that you would even want to tell them that and make their life better in a sense. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
In the village where you'll be staying, will you have mail? Or what kind of communication will you have?
We are able to. There's some technology over there that we are able to, if I needed to, like, get a hold of my pastor for informational purposes or just updates, to be able to update some of the churches, we are able to text with the phone. With them, a lot of times it's by radio. They do have a kind of like a phone plan where they have to buy minutes there in the villages. The pastor of Karamui, a lot of times will buy for the minutes in town when he goes in town to be able to communicate with other places. But whenever they have planes coming in, which is MAF, that usually brings in the supplies or trades with a lot of the villages, they'll have bags of mail that they'll bring into the airport there of the village, and that's a lot of times how you get your communication out. And so when we go, we're planning on, we're trying to figure out if, you know, about a month and a half to 2 months of going into town, possibly getting supplies, that would be the time to be able to update, because in town, you have a lot more access to like internet and those things to be able to communicate back at home.
You were talking about the Bibles that you guys had handed out. What's the availability of God's Word there? I mean, is there a lot of Bibles?
There's not.
There's not
a lot of Bibles as of right now. The way it's working right now, so the Bible that right back there is the one that I actually bought in Mount Hagen at a desk there in the apartment complex where we'll be at. Right now, the money that goes straight into buying that, it goes right to printing out another Bible. So at the moment, it's not printing out a whole bunch. It's whatever, basically it's just, right, is what it's doing at the moment. And so I would want to eventually somehow to be able to get it where we can start, hopefully be able to get some copies for them to be able to have and have access to. So when we went in 16, we were able to hand out these men that were in training underneath Pastor Kim in that picture of all of them holding the Bible up. We were able to pass out some of those Bibles because those are the ones we actually bought to be able to go over there with. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, there's a number of and I'll go ahead and say there's a number of 5,000 is the exact budget number that we're needing to be able to get to not only just to have the expense of taking our whole family over there, emergency plan, if there ever something to set aside to be able to build for a house, you know, in Coffey, supplies to be able to fly in and back into town and those things. We're at 86% of that, of total support that we need to be able to live there. All right, anybody else? All right, if you wouldn't mind grabbing your Bibles and turning to Genesis chapter number 41. Genesis chapter number 41, and I want to deal tonight, dealing with Joseph here and understanding some of the things that Joseph went through and all the things that he had gone through. I believe, obviously, from God, there was a purpose and a plan in it all, but Joseph was able to kind of use his time of struggles and his time of trials and to be able to help Pharaoh here in Genesis chapter number 41. But I want to be able to, with the Lord's help tonight, talk to us about an answer of peace. And boy, we could use peace in these troubling times, couldn't we? I mean, just seems like we've had a kind of a rough year this past year, and it seems like anything bad happened. I remember hearing a lot of people just say, well, just chalk it up to 2020. But you know what? God is still in control, and that ought to give us peace. That ought to give us joy in knowing the Lord and knowing that this did not come by surprise, all of the things that are going on. And so we ought to be thankful for that. But if you look in Genesis chapter number 41, and if you're willing and able to, if you don't mind standing and honoring and reading God's Word tonight, we're going to read verse 1 through 8, and then we're going to drop down to verse number 14. And finish out through verse number 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh woke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." If you'll drop down to verse number 14, the Bible says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for this time that we can spend together. Father, I pray that you would use your word to speak to our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that you would use your messenger. Father, I just pray that you'll help us to just find joy in knowing that you are in control, and Lord, find that peace that only you can give. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's lost, Lord, understanding that they cannot have true peace unless that you are in their life. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just convict tonight of those that may be lost, or maybe those that are a Christian tonight, Lord, that maybe need the peace. Maybe they are struggling with something, but Lord, I pray that you would just help us tonight. Lord, use your word. Help me, Lord, just to be able to be removed to the side, and Lord, to be able to focus upon you. Lord, help me to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would fill me with your power. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the instruction. Lord, thank you for your love unto us, and we love you, but it's only because you loved us first. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, thank you for saving me. I pray tonight that you would take control of the services. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in this passage, we see, not necessarily we're going to look into, but we see the dreams that Pharaoh had, and obviously that whenever he had these dreams, when he awoke, and I can imagine he's kind of woke up in this kind of a sweat, wondering what these dreams mean and wondering what is going on. And to the point that the Bible says that in verse number 8, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled." His spirit was troubled. Now, I'm sure that not only Pharaoh, and I'm sure not only Joseph, but you and I have gone through some things in our life that we probably could not go to sleep because we were maybe worried about or concerned about, maybe thinking about it throughout the day. But I'm sure there has been times in our life where our spirit was troubled. But I want to be able to look at the answer tonight of what Joseph was giving unto Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's and going through this. And Joseph said, "Listen, it's not within me, but God shall give an answer of peace." Too many times that people are looking for an answer of peace or an answer of joy in this world, and the exact place that they need to find it is in His Word, is in Himself. God is the only one who can give us that. The Bible says that peace that passeth all understanding. We can trust in Him to be able to do that. But I want to go through Pharaoh's life here in this passage and understanding this real struggle in his life. And verse number 8, it says, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled." This was not Joseph's trouble at this moment of this dream. This was not the magician's trouble. This was not all the wise men that Pharaoh had called. It was not their trouble. It was Pharaoh's trouble. This was a personal struggle in Pharaoh's life at this moment that when he woke up, it bothered him so much. There's going to be some things in our life that could bother us, whether it be of confusion. We might not know what's going to happen this year. But listen, God is in control, and God knows what's going to lie ahead. He knows what's going to happen in our life, and we just need to put our trust in Him that He does know. And we need to put our trust in Him to allow Him to take full control. Amen? But sometimes we struggle often when we are confused, and the unknown, not knowing what is going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all churches of the saints." Satan can even get our mind to begin to wonder. Have you ever heard the term that it seems like it's the fact that our mind makes it out to be bigger than what it really is? Our mind can play tricks on us. We sit up at night and sit up in bed maybe and begin to think about that, and then we go to the worst case scenarios. Well, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? What if I lose my job? What if I'm not able to put food on the table? What if I'm not able to do this? What if? And our mind can play tricks on us. And that's why the Bible always teaches us about the mind, that we need to have the mind of Christ, not to be double-minded as well, so we can sit there and think right and think straight, so we don't have to worry about those things if we trust in God. But the unknown, could this happen or could that happen? Listen, Joseph even had his own struggles, and he very well could have been in prison, or he very well could have been in that pit wondering, "Okay, God, you gave me this promise. God, you told me in the dreams of myself, Lord, that these things were going to happen. I'm not seeing that happen at this moment." There's some things that God has told us in His Word that are going to happen. There may be some things that God has spoken to you personally about that you begin to wonder, how is this going to come to pass? How is this going to happen? And we begin to struggle. But you know what? There is that answer of peace. There is that answer that God can give unto us, just like He gave unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted the understanding, and he wanted the understanding of his dreams right now. How many times that when we're praying to God, "God, I need an answer right now. God, I need to know what's going on." We don't like not knowing. We struggle with that. But you know, that answer might be, "No, it's not for you to know right now." You know, the Bible talks about the mysteries of God. You know, it might not be for us to know some things. It might not be for us to know at this time. Maybe God will show us later on down the road. He showed Joseph how he was going to do things later on down the road. But it might not be for us to know these things and to go through some things in our life. Maybe some things are for us to be prepared for what's coming. Maybe we need to struggle with some things. Maybe we need to go through some things and not know about some things so we can be drawn closer to Him, so we can be able to trust in Him. "God, I don't know what's going on, but I know You got it under control. I know You've got it in Your hands." But Pharaoh was having a personal struggle here. But not only in that personal struggle, he had a pointless search. Look in verse number 8 as well. When he got troubled, when he woke up, the Bible says his spirit was troubled. What was the first thing that he did? The Bible says, and he sent and called for some of the Egyptians, or the magicians. For a little bit of the magicians. No, it says that he called for all the magicians of Egypt. And if that wasn't good enough, it says, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Whenever we struggle with something, oftentimes we want an answer now, and if we can't seem to get an answer from God, how many times we try to take it upon ourselves to find the answer, to go to secular things, secular counsels, or we want to go to a counsel that will kind of tickle our ear or go with what we're thinking and not go exactly what God wants in our life. There was a pointless search. How many times are we going to that worldly counsel, or talking to our worldly friends, and trying to get advice from them? I'm telling you right now, the best advice or the best counsel that we'll ever be able to receive is of the Lord. How many times do we go to God first? But Brother Riley, I got a friend that I can trust in, and that we always pour our heart out to each other. And I understand those type of friends. But shouldn't we go to God first? A friend that sticketh closer than a brother? One that we can pour our heart out to. One that understands. One that was touched by our... Listen, the one that knows what we're going through. The one that went through everything for you and I. The one that faced sufferings. Many sufferings, the Bible says. Faced all these persecutions. Faced the blasphemy. Listen, faced all these things. Why not go to Him first? Why not ask God, "God, I need Your help"? But too many times we try to take it upon ourselves to fix the problem. And treat our problems just like Pharaoh did, and says, "I want to fix it now." or I want a quick fix. This world is going to drugs, going to drinking. Why? Because they want a quick fix. How can I get that peace? Well, I'm going to get a quick fix, so I'm going to go this route. I'm going to go that route. Listen, we need to go to God. God is the one who can fix the problems. God is the one that we can take the problems to. Did He not say to cast all our cares, all our burdens upon Him? Did He not say to go to Him and basically pour out our hearts unto Him? How many times did David in the Psalms, whenever he was going through some things, when the king was going after him, whenever he was sitting there being betrayed, whenever his son was rebelling against him, listen, how many times did he pour out to God? God, I need your help. Whenever his family and his men of valor and those families and the wives were killed, and what did he do? He went straight to the Lord, and the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. The one that we need to go to is God. He's the one that can give us that answer of peace. He's the one who knows. He's the one who understands what we're going through. He's the one that knows what's going to be up ahead. Let's go to Him and not go after worldly things. Bible talks about in Psalms 1:1 about the counsel of the ungodly. I want you, if you don't mind, go over there, Psalms 1:1, and understanding the transition here of the psalmist of what he was saying here, that how it starts out and how it ends in the Christian life, if we sit there and try to take things upon ourselves and follow after those worldly counsels. And verse number 1 of Psalms 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I want you to notice how it just goes downhill from there. He's walking. But he goes into, he's talking about, blessed is man that does not do these things. But if you're going to do these things, walking in the counsel of godly will then eventually end up in standing in the ways of sinners. The Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit. But if we're going after the godly counsel, we're going to eventually just start standing and griping about things. Standing in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. You understanding the downhill slope here. But where did it start off at? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Our instruction ought to come from here. Our advice and our, in a sense, our fix. So I don't want to call it quick fix, because we're not just to go to God as an ATM machine or just try to get a quick fix. No, we ought to go to God because He is our everything, and this ought to be our everything of life. Our decisions, our outpourings, our burdens, everything that we have in our life, we can get an answer from right here. From right here. Well, the Bible's not relevant. Oh, it's relevant. It's living. And it can personally talk to us. It's personally speak to us. We need to be careful about searching and trying to get worldly counsel as Pharaoh did. But I want you to look in verse number 16 back in our passage once again about the perfect solution. Joseph had the solution, and I believe his solution that he gave unto Pharaoh is what helped him get through this road up to this point of falling into this pit of his brothers hating him, of being accused of wrongdoing and being thrown into prison. And Joseph says here in verse number 16, Pharaoh saying, "It is not in me, God shall give an answer of peace." You know what Joseph said? "What do I have to offer? I don't have the answer, Pharaoh. But I know the one who has the answer. I know the one who can give you the peace. I know the one who's given me the ability not to sit there and say that the man of God cannot help, because he was able to interpret those dreams. God was able to use him. But Joseph still looked at it and said, it is not in me. God's the one who's going to show you the way. God's the one who's going to give you the peace. God's the one who's going to give you that joy. God is the one who's going to give you that instruction. The perfect solution of our struggles is not within ourself. Yes, greater is He that liveth in you, but listen, it's not within us. It's not within our flesh, but it is God who can give us that peace. It is God who can give us that answer to help us through those struggling times. The answer may be no, the answer may be yes, and the answer may be wait, but it's the answer from God, and God is the one who's going to choose that answer. We ought not to try to force an answer. We ought not to try to force the wrong answer, because God knows best, and God is the one who's going to choose the answer. John 16:33, the Bible says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace."
I love how Joseph said, it's not in me. What do I have to offer? What can I do? What power do I have to be able to give you peace? God's the one who can do it. Pharaoh, you want help? You want to know what you're to do? Here's the answer, God. Here's the answer for us, God. Here's the answer for us, the Lord, the one who saved us. If you're saved here tonight, listen, that's a great peace in knowing that. Going throughout this year, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to take place. But we don't have to struggle with that. Why? Because God's in control. We can draw peace and comfort in knowing Him. Knowing what He's going to do this year. But you know what? It did not end there. Pharaoh got this answer and Joseph said, listen, this is what's going to take place. You're going to have 7 years of plenty. You're going to have 7 years of famine. You need to store up during that times of plenty to be able to help during the time of famine. The answer was given, but that it did not end there. And it doesn't end there. Look at verse number 33. There was a proper step. It says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Also in verse 39 and 40, the Bible says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. You know what Pharaoh said? I've got the answer, and I'm going to do exactly what God said. God can give us an answer and say, yes, this is what you're to do with what you're going through. Or, no, you need to let me take care of it. Or, wait, not right now, not at this moment. We can get an answer from God, but if we don't obey that answer, it's going to cause more a struggle, more pain on us because of what we've done. We oftentimes have something going in our life maybe because we didn't wait and obey God. We didn't do it His way. Listen, Pharaoh took the proper step. The command was given to him, let Pharaoh find someone so discreet. Let him be the one to take over this. It wasn't Pharaoh as the ruler of Egypt. It wasn't Pharaoh that was to do this. He had to humble himself to find someone else to take care of it. When we're going through something, I think we need to humble ourselves and give it over to God. Let Him have full control over it. And what I like of the fact here is that Joseph is a type of Christ in going through his life, a typology here, and the one that we need to humble ourselves to and hand it over to is the Lord Himself when we're going through something. But listen, we can find an answer of peace in the Lord. Now, like in verse number 55, remember, I was mentioning the fact that sometimes it prepares us, or what we go through might be the fact of either strengthening us or maturing us, or maybe in the fact of helping someone else out. Look at verse number 55. It says, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. The Pharaoh sit there and say, well, I'm ruler of all Egypt. Here, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. No. Pharaoh had an answer of peace for himself. Pharaoh was given the command to do something, and he did exactly that, and he saw of how it was going to take place. Pharaoh was helped. People are struggling. People around him are going through a struggle. It might not be exactly the same thing as what he was going through. And I believe our struggles are very different, but listen, we can help others. Pharaoh sat there and said, listen, I can help you, but I'm going to lead you to the one who can give you that answer. I'm going to lead you to the one who gave me that answer. Listen, those around us might be struggling, and they may go through something similar of what we went through. How we can help them is lead them to the one who helped us. Lead them to the one who gave us an answer of peace. Lead them to the one who's in control of it all. Lead them to the one who can take care of it. Pharaoh said, listen, go do what Joseph says. You go do what he's... I can't. Listen, basically Pharaoh was saying the same thing. He basically was saying, hey, I can't do this. You go to the one who can. I can't help you, my friend. I can pray for you. I can try to, with the Lord's help, maybe give you some advice, but the one who can really help you, I'm going to lead you to the one who can help you and give you that answer of peace. Are we leading others to Christ? When they're going through something and they come to us for help, are we leading them to the one who can give them an answer of peace? Or are we being kind of like those Joseph's friends sitting there for a while and not saying a word and then going on the attack? Here, this is what you ought to do. This is what you need to do. Listen, I've been through it all. I've been through that. Be very careful of telling someone, I know what you're going through. We may go through similar things, but we might not know exactly the whole emotion behind of what someone's going through. The best answer and the best advice, listen, I can get you to the one who knows exactly what you're going through. It's not in me, and it's not in any of us to be able to help us or to get an answer of peace. Joseph said, let me lead you to the one who has the answer. And so tonight, if you're struggling with something, let me lead you to the one who can give you an answer of peace. You're confused, you're worried about this year, go to God. He'll be able to help you tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for just speaking to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust in you and, Lord, always to commit ourselves to you. Lord, you have been so good to us and been faithful to us. Lord, you've never failed us. And Lord, we just ask that you use your word. We ask things in Jesus' name. Amen.